Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Saints made a smart decision re-signing Alvin Kamara. Now you can make a smart decision of your own. Sign up to become an annual Saints Happy Hour fan club patron and save 5% off the monthly rate. You get access to the Saints Happy Hour daily podcast ad-free. No ads ever. You get the Saints Happy Hour booze bundle, 4 swag items, amazing. Access to our private Discord channel where you can talk Saints 24/7. What are you waiting for? This offer won't be around forever. Go to saintshappyhour.com, sign up, and save 5% today.
This is Sean Payton, head coach of the New Orleans Saints. What's with this Saints Happy Cast? This has to be the worst Saints podcast in the world. Ralph can't say anyone's name right. Andrew doesn't know football. Everyone has a hard time listening to Dave. And is Kevin even there tonight? The audio with this podcast, my God, the audio, it's painful.
All right, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Saints Happy Hour Podcast. The Saints are 4-2. They got more kicking luck, but most importantly, and we got to start here, Dave got one of the golden tickets. He was one of the 3,000 people in attendance. Dave, how was the Saints game with only 3,000 people in attendance?
Was that a Charlie and the Chocolate Factory reference right there?
It was.
Kind of, yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It was good. I wrote some notes because I knew I was going to forget some of the things I wanted to say, but it was a totally unique experience that I don't think, even when the dark days of losing come back to haunt the Saints, there probably will still be more than 3,000 fans in the stadium. So I don't know if anybody's ever going to have an opportunity like this again. Because next time they're hoping to up it to at least 5,000, if not yeah. more, but, It was very intimate, and it, honestly, like I texted you guys, it felt like I owned this team, and that I was, and that they were there strictly for my sole enjoyment, and they were playing a game just for me and just a handful of some friends that I invited to watch play a football game. But it was super cool. So, I mean, we yeah. drove up. I had to do family photos before the game. I pulled up to the Superdome at like 11:30, and I parked, and I'm not even joking, I parked on Poydras Street, one block over from the Superdome.
Oh okay, God,
that never happens.
That would
never
no, wow.
that is a dream.
Okay. Wow.
Street, just free.
Wow.
Street walking. I literally got out of my car and just walked up the main, right up the Champion Square there.
You got to show up for a noon kickoff. You got to show up at like 4 a.m. Yeah.
You got to.
On a regular game.
So it was at that point I was like, okay, this really is going to be really weird. But so they had. You know, they had the food vendors. They didn't have all of the like temporary food vendors that they have. Like they didn't have the full wine and liquor bars.
Oh my God.
They didn't have the jambalaya people, which is like my favorite food to get. They only had the built-in ones, and then the beer stands and that, you know, no Dippin' Dots, nothing like that.
Oh, no Dippin' Dots.
So
that's a bummer.
Man, but if you laugh, but if you brought children to the game, my God, no Dippin' Dots would be a devastating
blow. Yeah, totally. Yeah, it's Dippin' Dots is a critical stop.
But I mean, But it's cool because, you know, there's nobody there. So you just, whatever you want, whenever you want, you just get up and you go get it. You don't have to worry about the line. You know,
I was going to say the line to the bathroom must have been awesome.
Well, there is no line. You know, right, so it's like even at halftime, it's not like normal where it's like there's 3 minutes to go in halftime. You're like, shit, I'm going to go now. I'm going to beat the crowd before halftime gets here. You know, none of that. You don't have to worry about any of that kind of stuff anymore. You know, and you were asking before the podcast. I mean, everybody was spaced out evenly. There was nobody sitting in the club level. There were people in some of the suites. There was nobody in the terrace. So they had everybody just in the plaza and in the suites. And everybody was very evenly spaced out. There were no large groupings. I didn't notice until about halfway through the game that they actually zip-tied the seats that weren't issued. They actually zip-tied the seats closed. You know, in other words, you couldn't fold them down and open them to sit on them, which I noticed when I went to go try and climb over one of the row in front of me to get to my seat. So you couldn't just go sit in any random seat because they were all zip-tied.
Couldn't stretch out and such.
I mean, you could stretch out. You know, like I put my phone on the armrest of the seat in front of me, and you know, you can put your drink all the way over to your lap, you know, all that.
What about masks? Everybody wearing masks?
So everybody was wearing masks, and this is the one thing I definitely wanted to note. I mean, they were pretty, the ushers, you know, there was a woman, you know how they have an usher that sits at the bottom of every section, and they have somebody at the top of every section. At least in my section, she was diligent about constantly, you know, anybody who didn't have it on, you're allowed to take it off if you're eating, actively eating or drinking. And I was had a couple of beers, but even while I was drinking,
please, the correct term is dome foam.
Dome
please.
Foam. I would take it off and I would put it back on. But I mean, she was very diligent about like getting on everybody whenever they weren't wearing a mask.
Did your mask confuse her?
Totally. And it seemed like there was a guy. There was two guys sitting on the other across the aisle in front of us. Seemed like they had an issue with the mask wearing, and they were kind of getting into it, you know, with the ushers or whatever. But everybody was fine. A lot of the super fans were there. The clown was there, and I saw Game Time Saint, who sits in front of me. Soldier Saint was there.
Whistle
Monster.
The guy
with the sign was always there. The guy who always has the signs. He was there. I saw
Whistle Monster.
I didn't see him. I'm sure he probably was there, but I didn't see him.
I think Romeo said that he's not coming to the games because of COVID.
You know, on the downside, you know, if you're drinking a couple of beers and you're wearing a mask, then by the end of the game, your mask, you know, smells like stale beer. It's gross.
You smell like stale beer all the time, Dave. How would you know the difference?
But I honestly it's gonna be hard to go back to full capacity stadium after this. This is like flying first class to China, and then on the way home you have to go back and sit in the fucking last row and coach. Like I've been spoiled.
You fly first class, you'll never fly Southwest again if you can help it.
Spirit?
So, as for the actual football game, which the Saints won 27-24, Andrew, it was really a coin flip game, but the Saints had a little, I don't know what the word for it is, but they've had it 2-2 out of the last 3 weeks. They had coronavirus chaos, right? And Sean Payton talked about it. They had to scramble their ass off on Thursday to get their game plan together.
It was a late night, 3 a.m. I think on Thursday night, and just trying to get guys into positions they're comfortable with and had experience with. And Marquez has been playing some, and obviously he played well. Traquan, you know, all those guys that stepped up. We had a handful of base personnel in the plan because of the type of defense we were seeing. And yet, you know, it was up to not just one person, but a lot of people. It took a little time on Thursday night.
Andrew, they were missing Michael Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders, Teron Armstead for most of the game. They changed the game plan on Thursday, and they still went 12 of 14 on third down. I want Drew Brees in the Hall of Fame today.
Man, that was something, wasn't it? Watching Drew Brees play. And listen, Dave, I mean, you could go back to the several rants that he's had this season. You play any of those. But Brees is clearly back. And any of you that said he was washed or said he was done or demanded that Jameis Winston replace him,
Cam Newton we will now
accept those apologies. Your tail is between your legs. You were wrong. We were right. We are good looking. You are not very attractive, all that stuff. Breeze is locked in, man. He's laser sharp right now. And we haven't seen him play maybe like that yet this season. But the thing that was cool about that is just, you know, again, Deontay Harrison, Marquez Callaway, undrafted guys. That's what he had to work with. That's what he was throwing to. And we've talked about how Breeze maybe hasn't really elevated the nobody receiver in a while, but that damn sure happened in spades on Sunday.
I mean, it's embarrassing that none of us picked Marquez Callaway as our UDFA son.
Marquez,
it could have been a
Marquez
truly
Colston
triumphant
away.
Moment for any of us.
Yeah, same initials, same number, same first name, missing a letter.
Marquez Colston.
It did feel like Colston out there. It did. Like a dreaded Colston.
The wait is finally over. A triple header of fun is upon us this week. Football is in full effect, with many teams strutting their stuff early, and the MLB playoffs are in full swing. You might not be at the game this year, but you can still be in on the action at Bet Online. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you get in on everything imaginable this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any other place online. Head to BetOnline today and use promo code ARMCHAIR to take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
I didn't think Drew Brees at 40-plus had it in him to be this great, missing
I know you didn't. A lot
so
of people
many
didn't.
Guys.
It's okay. You can, you can just say, I was wrong. I admit it. I get it. You can. It's fine. You're in the trust tree, Ralph. You're in the trust
tree. Ralph is wrong a lot.
I'm not gonna go off on another rant and explain to you all why I was right all those
you
weeks
blew
ago.
It!
I mean, I'm kind of okay with you.
No,
going
I'm gonna.
There.
Our listeners,
you
they,
want
don't
to.
Wanna, they don't
want to
hear it. They know. They know. You know. They. I. You guys. Some people out there. You disrespected. You got out of line. I think they say in good faith. You get got a little out of line. A little out of line. Disrespected a little bit. You know, it's. He's Drew's locked in. He's back. He's playing again at a level that makes you think like maybe he'll play another season. Maybe he'll play another season again after this.
I mean,
maybe
I
he's still
know.
Got a little something left in the tank.
Well,
I mean,
he's got that NBC gig lined up.
Drew
but
practiced with his core for 6 weeks. You know, Matt. This is Matt Ulrich, I think. He's saying in the chat that Drew practiced with his core for 6 weeks, and now he has that feeling of who can catch the ball consistently, who's running the routes. And yeah, I mean, I think that's totally spot on. I think with Corona, the lack of practices and all that, just how this off season went, I just think it took Drew a little time to dial it in and to get comfortable with the offense. And we've had many podcasts where we've talked about this, how Drew is the type of quarterback where he just needs attention to detail and time and to really fully feel comfortable and dialed in. And we're seeing it with Tom Brady too, by the way. I think with those kind of quarterbacks, they're not your Mahomes. They can just throw it all over the yard.
Well, that's a
it
great
takes time for them to get it dialed in.
Andrew, that's a great point. And I had one soundbite from Drew. He talked about all the young guys and getting on the same page and making contributions.
Young guys have had to step up. Obviously we've, you know, been without Michael Thomas here for, you know, going on five games. Emmanuel, you know, being out this game, you know, young guys having to step up and really take on a role where, you know, hey, they're going to be expected to step in and need to really be able to contribute. And I can't say enough about guys like Marquez Callaway and the job that he did today and really just stepping in Mike's stead. Obviously, Traquan Smith is a mainstay, but, man, we've asked him to do so much stuff. Obviously, the guys up front, you know, in you know, having some injuries at times and young guys need to step in or just kind of, you know, fill the void. I think that – it's just been one of those deals where, man, each week it's finding a different way to win.
You know, each week it's finding different guys that are having to step up and contribute in ways that maybe they haven't in the past. And yet, man, it's what we need to win the game. And so I can't say enough about just guys' resolve and resilience to be able to do that. And, you know, listen, these last two games especially, you know, where it's coming down to the wire, you know, it's coming down to the last drive and just finding ways to make the plays to win the game.
You know,
find a way, baby. Find a way.
And I know you always preach that, Andrew, but Dave, I feel like in the season of coronavirus, like, you just got to get these wins and get into the playoffs. And this is really going to pay dividends for them down the road when Michael Thomas finally gets back, unless the Saints trade him before next Tuesday, which Mike Florio, PFT, is dying for them to do. but I really think this offense, I know Carolina is terrible on defense, but I still see the great potential that people smarter than me, like Andrew and Zach Strief, have said in the offseason it can be possibly the best offense in Saints history. Zach Strief said that, not Andrew. But I saw it. I was like, God, this thing can – Michael Thomas gets back. This thing can be freaking amazing.
Okay. Yes. Was that a question?
That is a question. Do you agree with me?
Oh. I don't know. The best offense in Saints history? I don't know. You know, those are pretty big shoes to fill.
Kamara does look like the best running back in Saints history, at the very least.
I mean,
that's a great question.
Darren Sproles was pretty good looking back in 2011. You know, and I don't know.
I mean, Andrew, though,
you're into the short guys, huh, Dave?
The short list of Saints' great running back seasons are Sproles 2011, Dalton Hilliard 1989, Reuben Mays 1986, and George Rogers 1981. Like, that's the short list of awesome Saints.
You didn't even put
seasons.
Deuce McAllister on there. What the hell is wrong with you?
Yeah, well, yeah, that's true. But, like,
I mean,
I guess Deuce is the
list.
Deuce 2003. Yeah, Deuce 2003. Sorry, forgot.
Yeah, I'm sorry. But no, Kamara, well, people are talking about Offensive Player of the Year with Kamara, and that's,
I don't know.
That's going to be tough. I just think with the level of quarterback play we're seeing from
Andrew, that's not fair, because they give MVP to quarterback, but they usually don't double dip. Like, if a quarterback wins MVP, it's not necessarily that
a quarterback or
the same guy will win Offensive Player of the Year. They'll
I
split
think
it, give
non,
it a different position.
Yeah, but even non-quarterbacks, I don't know, DK Metcalf, would he be in the running potentially Offensive Player of the Year? Dalvin Cook, would he be in the running potentially?
No, not Dalvin Cook. Not with Minnesota
being
1-5.
No,
Metcalf
over,
maybe, but I mean, like, Kamara is on pace for, like, close to 2,000 yards and a ridiculous amount of touchdowns. And if the Saints get to 10, 11, 12 wins, I think he'll be in the pole position for Offensive Player of the Year, but, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you're right. So 2017, Todd Gurley won Offensive Player of the Year, and DeMarco Murray won it in 2014, Adrian Peterson in 2012. So, you know, since 2010, there's been three running backs, so it's not unheard of.
It's just the thing that's crazy to me, Dave, is teams know what is coming with Alvin Kamara. They know on these third downs they're going to get him the ball. Even when it's third and long, they know they're going to do dump offs to Kamara. Or if it's third and medium, they're throwing it to him. And Carolina couldn't fucking stop it to save their life.
And that was the other point I wanted to make. It's good to get a win, obviously. I don't, you know, and obviously the offense looked good. And Andrew, you think the defense maybe didn't look as bad as we think it did, but I don't know if this is really the game that we should be judging how the Saints are playing, because I look at the other side of the football and I'm taking into consideration the competition, and I don't know. I don't think it's that, you know, I still don't think just because we beat Carolina yesterday that means we're going to be able to take on, you know, Seattle, or, well, actually, Seattle.
Well, no, Seattle's defense is horrific. Terrible.
No, but I mean, you know, like the Chiefs or something like that.
That's a fair point, but I still don't see
a team that's good enough to beat one of those top two or three teams.
I mean, who besides Green Bay, who in the NFC is really?
I'd like another shot at Green Bay. I wish we got to play Green Bay later in the season. So I don't know whether they're going to be as good later in the season as they were in the beginning
with
of the season.
With a crowd would have been nice.
Yeah, and I think we're going to be better later in the season, which, well, again, to your point, that's what's important. You don't need to be peaking now. You need to be peaking in December and January.
Right. Well, the Saints tend to peak this time of year. Right. You know, and that served them well for being 13-3 the last couple of years, but not so much in the playoffs. How about this for a novel? I was talking to my buddy Samir. I don't know if Samir's listening tonight, but patron. I was talking to him today, and I was like, wouldn't it be amazing if the script was flipped this year and the Saints kind of didn't play that great in the regular season, limped to the playoffs, let's say, as a wild card at 10-6, and then went full Tennessee Titans on teams and actually won the playoff games for a change.
Well, that was my prediction.
Wouldn't that be a nice reversal?
That was my prediction for the season. I said they're going to go 10-6. They're going to be mediocre all year. It's going to be a slog. It's going to be really hard and difficult, and they're going to have injuries and all kinds of stuff. And then in the playoffs, Drew Brees is going to become 2011 Drew Brees, and they're going to win the Super Bowl, and we're going to get the happy ending we want. But, Dave, we are not going to get
Bob
a happy ending
the chat.
If the Saints cannot get their secondary together. And we got to play some sound from Sean Payton, not yesterday, today. And Sean Payton, he had a lot to say about the secondary. First of all, he said, look, the secondary fuck up yesterday, it wasn't because of communication issues.
It wasn't as much communication this time as technique and landmarks. It's obviously something we've got to get cleaned up. Dennis and I just finished talking about a handful of them, and this wasn't as much communication as it was just recognizing the formation, the alignments, and then you know, how to play the coverage on that specific play. So it's an area of concern. It's, you know, an area that we've got to get better at, and I think we will. But it's still something, it's one of those things you come off a win and you look, all right, the good news is we won. Here are some of the things now that they're going to cost us in another game down the road if we don't fix.
And he also, somebody asked him about where he is on the Dave Cariello panic meter about the secondary. And he said, oh, yeah, I'm worried.
No, it's closer to the a lot than not that concerned about it. I think it has to be, and that's something we'll continue to work on. But yeah, we've got to eliminate the explosives, you know. And look, teams are good enough throwing the football where they're going to make plays underneath. In a handful of these games this year, you know, these chunk plays are the ones that, like I said earlier, are going to hurt you in another game, and be the difference rather than, you know, you being able to overcome it.
Andrew, my
I've had some bad Mexican before, and you definitely always want to avoid the explosives. That's definitely something you want to avoid at all costs.
Here's the question that I asked on Twitter. I said, you know, when is Sean Payton going to have his Charles Brown moment and say, I have seen enough, and go to someone else? And he called out Marcus Williams, if you pay attention, with this soundbite today.
That's the $6 million question right now, and we've got to get it figured out. You know, it wasn't as big of a challenge a year ago, and yet it's something that's creeped up right now. And coming off a training camp, I wouldn't have thought that would be such an issue, but it is right now, and we're addressing it.
Because Marcus Williams signed a 4-year, $6 million contract.
Do you think that was a specific shot at Marcus Williams?
Yes.
X-Files music.
Dave, I love that you have to tell him to play it because it doesn't come to him instinctively.
All right, and now it's dead air.
Right. It's too late. It's too late, Ralph. You ruined it. Like, don't even do it.
So, Dave, do you think he was calling out Marcus Williams intentionally?
I'll say this. Sean Payton certainly has a history of taking subtle shots at people he is not happy with. I'll reference the Roger Goodell clown shirt that was just ever so slightly within view, just one button a little bit too low there. Wasn't there the $6 million man, or was that what it is? Is there a show?
There was a show, the $6 million man. There was
maybe he just kind of had that in the back, and maybe he had that in the back of his mind.
I don't know. I don't know that that was a shot at Marcus Williams.
I feel like it was.
I mean, that's oddly specific, especially when that was like his rookie deal. You know, like he signed that deal like 4 years ago, 3.5 years ago, right?
We're gonna go with it. Yeah. We're gonna go with it. The headline for this podcast is gonna be Sean Payton hates Marcus Williams. Took a shot up. No, but what's frustrating is, and I think the question that was asked before one of those questions in the sound, before one of those answers in the soundbite was, is it frustrating that you're seeing these mistakes from your secondary, and all these guys have been here for years already. These are not new players. They are not new to the system. They've all, I mean, Malcolm Jenkins, Marcus Williams. I mean, our secondary has been together. They're experienced guys, and this isn't something that we've seen really from them that much in the past few years.
And all we've heard all training camp was how they were kicking ass. Right?
And now for some reason, they're having all of these communication issues and all these breakdowns and coverage breakdowns. And so what the fuck is going on? Where is this coming from? It's like getting the shanks when you play golf. It's like, you know, you could be the best player in the world, but all of a sudden, for some reason, you have some mental thing in your head, and all of a sudden, you're shanking the ball all over the place, and you're not nearly as good as you were. And it's like, it's just the most bizarre thing in the world. I don't understand it. I was a good question by whoever asked that.
When is Marcus, like, how much more leash does Marcus Williams have, Andrew?
Probably not much. It seems pretty obvious he's not happy about it. He's obviously aware it's a problem, and it's like, you can't continue to do this. We're going to lose. The reason we could have and should have and would have. Well, that was like a unintentional Jim Moore. I didn't even mean to do that. But the Saints, this game would have been.
God, I hate to hear that. I hate to hear that.
This game would have been more of a blowout. This would have been a more lopsided game if you eliminate that play and you took out Drew Brees' fumble. You can't change anything, but that's a touchdown. That's 7 points right there on that stupid play.
The point in the game where that happened, I just want to point out, it was 14-3 Saints, and Sheldon Rankins had just made a great play, blew up the running back. It was 14-3 Saints and 2nd and 14 when Teddy Bridgewater hit that big play. And, you know, the Saints had full momentum. They had Carolina by the throat. And then, boom, 75-yard touchdown, and it's 14-10. So those plays have massive consequences.
Yeah. In addition to, obviously, the score change, they are momentum changers. They either kill momentum if you've got it, or they destroy. And, you know, if you never had momentum, then it just totally kills you. And
you got to think at 14-3, if they get a stop there, because at 2nd and 14, you're ahead down in distance. You got a good chance to get off the field. And if they get a stop there and the Saints get the ball back up 14-3, it may very well have been a blowout.
Yeah, because then you can get it to 17-3, 21-3, and then you can come after Teddy, and he's kind of forced to press a little bit, maybe, you know?
This has been an issue since week one, since week two. And but the first few weeks, everybody was just complaining about Drew and worried about Drew. Well, guess what? Drew took care of himself and fixed himself, and now we're stuck here with the same fucking defensive problems, and that needs to get fixed. It absolutely needs to.
Well, I just want to get to one thing when Ralph touched on earlier, which is that I didn't think the defense was quite as bad as we fear. And first of all, I just want to say Teddy Bridgewater was pretty freaking awesome in that game. I mean, he got the ball out quickly.
I'm watching Nick Foles just stink it the fuck up on Monday night. And for the Bears to choose him over Teddy Bridgewater, Ryan Pace shouldn't be like hung or murdered, but he should be dragged through the streets of Chicago because it's shameful. But continue, Andrew.
Yeah, I mean, Chicago's defense, the Rams are cutting them up pretty good. So maybe there will be some points to score there. But I think with the defense, you know, first of all, the encouraging thing to me is that I thought Lattimore and Janoris Jenkins both played well. Those are your starting corners, and they're coming back both from injury. And so for them to come back, and they were tested a couple times by Bridgewater without much success, and so he kind of stayed away from them after that. Unfortunately, so this wasn't one of those games where I would say colossal failure as a whole. I actually thought the pass rush was okay. It wasn't so much – I mean, he was getting the ball out quickly, so it was hard to pressure him. My main complaint with the pass rush was just they weren't finishing those plays. Like, they were close many times to sacking him and couldn't quite bring him down, couldn't quite tackle him. He was a little elusive. So that was frustrating. But
I have a question about that.
Yeah, but I would just say that the play of Lattimore and Janoris Jenkins was encouraging. To me, it really just boils down to Marcus Williams makes the one big mistake that really hurts them. And besides that, this was kind of like Malcolm Jenkins against the Raiders and Darren Waller. It was fine, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, wherever he is on the field, and pick on him mercilessly and relentlessly, and that was it. So, I mean, you can really pick one guy that was kind of the mismatch that continued to hurt you in that game.
I have a question about the pass rush.
Go ahead.
And maybe it's just me. I don't know. Or maybe I saw things differently actually being in the stadium.
Are you going to say that they were taking it easy on time?
I thought there were a handful of plays where it looked like they eased up a little bit on Teddy.
Because they like him.
I am not fucking kidding.
There was one play. That is fucking stupid.
Don't remember. I guess maybe it was Davenport. I don't remember who it was, yeah. But I feel like he just slowed up. He got close to Teddy, and he just kind of slowed up, and he didn't finish the tackle. And you mentioned it. You said, you know, they got close to him. They weren't finishing tackles, that kind of stuff. You could play the X-Files.
Teddy
music,
is so adorable and lovable. They just couldn't bring themselves to hurt him.
Am I not? I guess I'm the only one who.
Did you see Sheldon Rankins blow him up on that pass he got off? Did you see that?
Yeah,
he got hit pretty good by Sheldon Rankins.
Well, good, rocked. Good. Well, Sheldon Rankins and his
and then you obviously Davenport had the sack.
Yeah, I know, but I don't know. Just
yeah, it's tough to say. I mean, I will say this: if I'm a defensive end, I'm terrified of getting flagged for roughing the passer.
Yeah, you know? That is
so.
True.
It's hard to delineate between it's Teddy and they're taking it easy on their buddy versus just they don't want to get flagged. I think it has a lot more to do with the fact that the ball was out in 2 seconds every time.
Yeah,
you know,
and
tough
the thing
to
is, though,
that's getting the ball out that quick.
With the pass rush is and look, trade deadline, just like the election for president of the United States, is next Tuesday. But a lot of the NFL insiders and beat writers and stuff say, look, teams are going to try to get stuff done Thursday, Friday, because of all the COVID protocols, they have to go through all these hoops. So the trade deadline the actual deadline is Tuesday, but teams will want to get stuff done this week. So I guess my question, and I want both of you to answer, so I'll start with you, Dave. We know the Saints like to do big things. They like to go YOLO. They tried with Clowney. But if you're the Saints and you only have so much capital and you can only do one deal, what position player are you going to get on defense to try to fix it and make a run?
I mean, you know, we just spent the last 15 minutes bagging on the secondary Chauncey Carter Johnson. I mean, I think they could use the most help in the secondary. What's likely to happen? I don't know. I saw Ian Rappaport or whatever said Everson Griffin was going to be potentially available. You know, so a pass rush would be good too. You know, you could theoretically improve your secondary and your pass defense by upgrading your pass rush and getting to the quarterback quickly and you know, not giving opposing quarterbacks all fucking day to sit back there and throw. So you know, yeah, I would say if not somebody in the secondary, then you know,
well, if they went
end,
secondary, it would. If they go secondary, Andrew, it's not. It's got to be safety, right? They would.
The answer is defensive end. End of story. Yeah, that's it. That's your answer. And by the way, who's this guy wearing number 94 for the Saints? Because it's not Cam Jordan. Who is that? Who's wearing that jersey?
He has a little bit of that Paul Kruger washed stench on him. I mean,
again, he's got something. I think is, you know, injury wise, something's wrong. Something's nagging him. They put it up on the big screen at the game. This was Cam's 150th consecutive game, which is a record for the Saints.
Yeah.
And I've said it before. When you have a guy who plays defensive end and he plays 150 straight games, that's a guy who is going to play through. He's going to play hurt. He's going to play through some shit.
But that's not true, Dave, because the Saints don't lie about injuries, and he's not on the injury report. So that can't possibly be the case.
You think you know, but you don't. No, and you never will.
I'm just saying.
Nick Underhill told me that the Saints don't lie about injuries.
And oh my god!
They put it on there. If it
Nick's
happens.
Nick's the best, but he has some questions
so naive
about things. Just gonna
so
say
naive.
I wonder. Manscaped is forever changing the grooming game with their Weed Whacker. This nose and ear hair trimmer provides proprietary skin-safe technology, which helps prevent nicks, snags, and tugs in those delicate holes. The premium Manscaped Weed Whacker uses a 9,000 RPM motor-powered 360-degree rotary dual-blade system. Its intelligently contoured design enhances the trimming experience and is waterproof, which makes for easy operation and cleaning. The only nose hair trimmer on the market with a powerful and rechargeable lithium ion battery that lasts up to 90 minutes of use. Have you ever pulled your nose hair out with your fingers? That might hurt worse than nicking your balls. Manscaped is making whacking your weeds a time to look forward to delivering maximum confidence while providing hygiene. Yes, you will get a replacement blade every 3 months to keep your weed whacking time clean and enjoyable. Look, fellas, 79% of partners polled admitted that long nose hair is a major turn off. It's time to upgrade your Manscaped routine with the Weed Whacker. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code armchair at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use the code armchair. What are you waiting for? Go whack your weeds. If the Saints are willing to go and trade a second-round pick for Clowney for a one-year rental, how much draft capital are they willing to spend at the trade deadline? Will they? Is the number one pick for 2021 on the table?
Didn't Clowney get injured? Is he injured?
Yes, he did. Yep. Shocking, since he has such little history of that. What a surprise. But yeah, he is injured. To answer your question, Ralph, I don't think, given the fact that this could be Breeze's last year and we could potentially be looking at a rebuild next year with cap stuff, I don't know if the Saints are going to want to part ways with their first round pick. I think the second round pick is a goner.
Andrew's dad says goodbye. I'm addicted to Clowney. Mr. Juge, if you think I'm addicted to Clowney, wait until a JJ Watt to the Saints rumor gets posted on PFT. You will see me drop Clowney like a bag of dirt and be all Watt all the time. Just so you know. So
that's where you should have had the Back to the Future soundbite, you know, 8 bajillion gigawatts or whatever. That would have been a good soundbite for that one.
Dave, do you think the first round pick for 2021 would be in play?
Yeah. Oh, they would do that for sure.
First round? Really?
Yeah.
I think they would
pull the trigger on that. They could draft picks are like fucking nothing.
When has Has Loomis ever given up a first at the trade deadline, though?
No. He's given up a second for Mike McKenzie.
Yep.
And
what did he give up for Apple? A third?
A fourth.
A fourth. Yeah.
He
gave up a third for Bridgewater, but that was before
the
season.
That was in
the
summer.
Yeah.
I mean,
Jenkins was a waiver claim, or did they give up a pick for him?
That's a good
Janoris.
No, that was just a waiver claim.
Okay.
I'm going to say this. If depending on what the Saints pro personnel department thinks of J.J. Watt. If he becomes available and the Saints decide that he's
The Texans are not going to trade J.J. Watt.
But here's the thing. The Texans have – they don't have a first or second round pick next year. So if the Saints or Green Bay or another team comes a-calling and they're offering a second or a first round pick, the Texans basically – that's a really hard call. I think the only way they would do it is if J.J. Watt said he didn't want to go. But if you're the Texans, man, you got to consider it. Miami's going to be getting two top 40 picks from them from the Tunsil trade. You know?
What about Harrison Smith?
Ooh, I like him. I like him a lot. He's a playmaker. But here's my question to you. Dave, would you give up a second round pick for a safety? And oh, by the way, a safety that you're only going to have for the rest of this year. You don't have him long term.
Would I know? Would the Saints? Yes, potentially, possibly. I mean, my whole thing is that I don't. I mean, call me crazy, but for a team that's supposed to be that's going to have a big problem with cap space next season, and who's going to be losing their franchise quarterback, it seems to me like the draft is where you're going to want to go to rebuild and to reload. You're going to get a lot of cheap help. And so to me, it seems like the Saints should be saying, but we shouldn't be that so loosey-goosey with our draft picks and trading
you
them
say work. That, and yet they
I say
burned,
that, and yes,
yeah, they,
I say
they
that,
burned a pick
to
get Bond,
do.
And they yes. burned a pick to get Tommy Stevens.
Correct. A rational mind would think the way that I'm thinking and would say this. They probably would be really wise to stockpile draft picks. At least, you know, for at least 1 year, can you please give Kevin what he wants and trade down as much as possible and get
I'm not even convinced Sean Payton liked Tommy Stevens that much. I think he burned the pick just to stick it to Joe Brady.
They're
burning picks just to stick a middle finger in the face of divisional opponents. They don't even care about the player.
Burning picks Spite. Is as natural as
he was.
That was just trading a pick to be petty.
His spite rating was off the charts for Tommy Stevens, right?
So I mean, they should probably build heavily using the draft, but will they? No,
should.
They probably won't. They will probably trade a second round draft pick for a safety that they'll use for 3 months and then lose in the second round of playoffs.
it'll be interesting. The thing is, for me, I'm so deliriously excited about this trade deadline because it's the same day as the election. It's gonna get wild. I really expect the trades to start heating up tomorrow on teams off day for Tuesday. I expect the trade rumors to start coming in fast and furious. So that's a reason why you should subscribe to this podcast, because we will have the analysis and the breaking news podcast before anybody else. Everybody else will be like, hey, the Saints just traded for so-and-so. We'll have a podcast later. I'll give you a write-up later. Me and Andrew will be on that shit 15 minutes
on
after it.
It
happens. We did a breaking news podcast
Jason
today
is
talking
right.
about the Michael Thomas
Jason
trade rumors,
Champagne
which are
is
out
right.
of control.
He's saying that they burned all these draft picks to draft guys that aren't playing as well as Marquez Callaway. I mean, we should have given up the farm for him. Marquez Callaway is looking like a second or third round pick right now. By the way, we talked about this on a previous show, and you should become a patron so you can listen to those shows too. But Ralph, what is going on with the Tennessee Volunteers?
They are.
What the hell is wrong with that program that they produce guys like Alvin Kamara, drafted in the third round, Marquez Callaway, undrafted, Shy Tuttle, undrafted. The Saints are basically cherry picking all these Tennessee players way below their value. Yeah, I should stop. You're right.
Oh, deception! Deception! Matt Ryan.
Any excuse to play that. But Tennessee is just a dumpster fire of a program. They haven't been relevant in 20 years.
We love their players, though.
When I was a kid, I used to love their uniform. They have the orange tee. It was very nice.
Somebody
said,
like
Matt
beer,
says, don't forget the Saints are getting compensatory picks, so that means they're more likely to burn assets at the trade deadline. Don't forget that.
It's true.
So before we get to the hotline, do we need to talk about anything? Before we get to the hotline and something else, do we need to talk about anything else about the game that I've missed? Oh, yeah. Deontay Harris. Go ahead, Dave.
Well, we have to talk about the Falcons.
Oh my God. The Falcons scored a game losing touchdown. I mean,
they just keep inventing new ways to lose. They lose when they don't score enough points. They lose when they score too many points. They just can't fucking figure it out.
They cost me money yesterday. I bet on them against Detroit.
That makes it even sweeter.
My God. Do they not? All they had to do was kneel the ball three fucking times and kick a field
goal.
Their
kicker is good.
Yeah, like what are they doing?
They have a good kicker.
I don't know. It gave me joy anyway, because if they'd have kicked the field goal, I would have lost, because they'd have only won by a point and they wouldn't have covered. So I was actually kind of happy. I was like, there's no way Detroit's going to come down. If then Detroit goes down and wins. And Detroit is 3-3. I don't know what's about that. But, like, Atlanta might be the best 1-6 team I've ever seen. Like, they have lost in excruciating fashion, and they're 1-6. But, like, they could be 4-3 if they weren't so unlucky and didn't falcon it every week.
There's also Julio Jones trade rumors. Would you trade Julio Mike Thomas for Julio Jones? You want to do a swap?
Wow.
So they could each detonate their cap?
You want to face Michael Thomas twice a year? A pissed off Michael Thomas?
Yeah. Oh my God.
Sounds great.
Oh, he would be.
Where can I sign up for that?
Yeah, it sounds great.
Michael Thomas Unbound.
That sounds fantastic.
Yeah. So
Mike Florio would sure get some clicks out of that.
Oh my God. Mike Florio, he would just be naked playing Barry White. He'd be so aroused. The possibility
Well, by the way, I do, just for our listeners, I do want to make sure it's clear that Mike Florio did his most recent article about the Mike Thomas thing. He said it's very unlikely that the Saints are going to trade Mike Thomas.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, nice backpedal there.
The Saints and Michael Thomas have to work that shit out, even if they don't like each other. They have to work it out. The wait is finally over. A triple header of fun is upon us this week. Football is in full effect, with many teams strutting their stuff early, and the MLB playoffs are in full swing. You might not be at the game this year, but you can still be in on the action at Bet Online. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you get in on everything imaginable this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any other place online. Head to BetOnline today and use promo code ARMCHAIR to take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. We're going to do game predictions and questions in a minute, but we got to do the hotline. But before we do the hotline, I want to talk about something. Look, we had a really sad situation earlier last week where Allie Marie Smith, she was, Andrew, I would say of all the fans we've had, she was like the best and most diehard, and she passed away unexpectedly last week. And I have to say, she was a fan of our show the longest, and she did something that I can't explain to you why it tickled me to death and I loved it so, but like in 2014, 15, and 16, and recently, but not as much, she used to listen to our show and live tweet it and just repeat our jokes on Twitter and insult me, insult Andrew. And I don't know why I loved it so much that she would live tweet our show. It was like Mystery Science Theater on Twitter on our show. But I loved it so. And she was like the first or second person to sign up as a patron. And she just loved our show and interacted with so much. And she was a part of Saints Twitter. And she passed away. And Saints Twitter was so incredibly sad. And it was really touching that Saints Twitter really embraced the GoFundMe for her funeral. And that was, thanks, if you contributed to that, I did a little bit. Thank you for doing that. And it warmed my heart so much. And I had remembered, Andrew, that when we first started Patreon, and this was back when we did Podbean, we did the Drunk History to try to raise money to pay for the server and stuff. When we first started Patreon, we did a thing where if you donate a dollar, we would pick a person a month and they would do a rant. And I remembered that I had Allie's rant that she did. I found it on my computer. And it is just so amazing and so great. I want to play it for you guys. And then we have something special that we did with the hotline that she's going to be a part of forever. But here's the rant she did, and it's just amazing. And I think it's a great way to pay tribute to her.
All right, Allie, our number one fan, a patron, she won our rant raffle. So she gets to vent about the Saints losing in Arizona. Allie, take it away.
Thanks, Rolf. One thing, I just want to conduct a search party for Sean Payton's balls. Because his ambush and flea flicker and challenge flag raining days are over, and he's now the guy who bent over for Goodell and doesn't trust his future Hall of Fame quarterback to get 8 yards with the game on the line. It is sad. Also, I am 2 drop passes away from trading in my Colson jersey for a Snead jersey and a bottle of scotch. Another thing, had you told me on Saturday night that the defense would get as many turnovers as the offense scored touchdowns, I'd have had you committed. And also that they would make more stops than the offense scored points. This is crazy. We're in a parallel universe. But I can say that one thing I took away that was wonderful about this game is that Damian Swan is a rookie god, and he should be heralded as such. Last thing, Delvin Bro Show is apparently the penalty show that we thought that Brandon Browner was going to be. But as long as he keeps recovering fumbles and defending passes, I will take it.
Amen.
So,
amen, sister. That was fantastic, Allie. Allie, you're the best. We'll see you on Twitter.
All right, thanks, Rolf.
I get emotional listening to it. The funniest thing about it is, my God, that's the opening game from 2015 against Arizona. We were so desperate for any good corner. We're like, Damon Swan, he's going to be good. It did. But it made me really sad. And it, like, finding that and listening to it and editing it, just trimming it up, it made me so sad because Allie, I mean, I feel like Saints Twitter is such a great community. And this podcast is, our little show is a great community. And it just makes me sad that we lost one of the funnest people in it. And if you guys want to say words about her, you can. I was incredibly emotional. People can probably see me now. I'm tearing up. It was so emotional for to have her go at such a young age. And it's just, you know, 2020 just sucks in a way that is indescribable.
Yeah, it's tragic. It's hard to hear her voice, and so far back in the past. But, I think you hear it in her voice, that just how passionate she was about the Saints. You know, she really did love the Saints. And it's kind of like you said, Rolf, on some level, I mean, we do this because we love the banter and we love the community that, you know, we've created and that you guys that listen are a part of.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Allie was a big part of that. And she was on Twitter all the time talking Saints. And you know, I'll never forget, she was a barista and she was always making coffee. And I'll never forget, she was so excited and sending us pictures because one day Cam Jordan walked in to her store, and I just, like, I've never seen someone so happy in my life. And she asked him to take pictures with her, and he did. And obviously Cam Jordan was awesome to her. And That was like a lifetime moment for her. And I remember her sending all the pictures and just being so pumped. So we lost the diehard Saints fan, y'all. And she was amazing. And I know a lot of you supported, again, like Ralph said, the GoFundMe to pay for her funeral and everything. So thank y'all that contributed. And yeah, it's tough.
Yeah. So what I wanted to do to honor her is I incorporated her into the hotline open. And so that'll be a little part of her that'll stay with the show forever, which I think is touching. And we get to this week's hotline. And first of all, you people weren't excited about the Saints win. You were angry at Marcus Williams. You were angry at Marcus Williams. And we had another person randomly call in and insult me about my hatred of red beans, which I took very personally. This person insulted me in a way that was kind of derogatory and probably over the line. So let's get to it. It's the Saints Happy Hour Hotline from Week 7. It's time for this week's hottest takes from the Saints Happy Hour Hotline.
I just want to conduct a search party for Sean Payton's balls because his ambush and flea flicker and challenge flag raining days are over, and he's now the guy who bent over for Goodell and doesn't trust his future Hall of Fame quarterback to get 8 yards with the game on the line.
As we've learned with anything in 2020, it's all just a bunch of horse shit.
So fuck it. That's the voicemail. That's it. Play me on the show. Don't play me on the show. I don't give a fuck.
I have 4 words. Marcus Williams, fuck you.
Fuck a ref. That's really all I've got to say.
Fuck you, Marcus Williams. Fucking bitch.
I'm listening to Tuesday's Daily Show, and Andrew and Ralph are talking about Popeyes, and Ralph says he doesn't like Popeyes, red beans, and rice. My God, Ralph, I think your taste buds are as dead as your arm. Jesus fucking Christ, you say
that's over the line.
You could have the best red beans and rice in the world and you still wouldn't like it. Popeyes has the best, world's best red beans and rice, and you still don't like it. You are a fucking idiot.
That's over the line. I don't know who that clown is. How'd he get
I
the
think
number,
that was, I think that was Cave Dariello.
Can we block that Marrero?
Can we block numbers?
Block that guy.
I'm surprised Cave has the number to the hotline.
Yeah.
Dave, give the number. Like something that he would be into.
Dave, I mean, give the number out for the hotline. It's behind you.
That's.
I can't see it. Rough. Give it out.
The
hopefully whoever left that voicemail, hopefully they had kinder words to slay the Carolina Panthers kicker.
The number for our hotline is 210-595-0818. Give us a call whenever you want. Put the number in your phone as a contact. Call us.
Insulting us is encouraged and preferred.
Totally. Call us whenever you want. Tuesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday after the game, post-game, pre-game, halftime.
Tell us why we're the worst. Tell us how terrible our takes are. Remind us of mistakes we've made.
Send nudes. Also, send nudes.
All right.
Can we get
sex
Dave. Messages to the
You mean sexts.
All right, we got a ton of questions in the Discord channel. And by the way, if you are a patron, get in the Discord channel. It's amazing on game days and all during the week during Saints season. And if you're not a patron, sign up and you get access to the private Discord channel. Here's a question from Jason. Would the Saints actually be better off replacing Marcus Williams with Taysom? Dave?
Wait, what? Would the Saints be better off replacing Marcus Williams with Taysom?
Yeah.
Didn't we have this question like 3 weeks ago? We wanted to replace somebody else with Taysom?
Well, Taysom can't be any worse in the secondary than he is at quarterback right now, right?
Basically, it's just like Taysom's like a rover, and whenever the Saints have a problem with a certain position, they just
he's like spackle.
Just put Taysom out there.
Can we talk about how terrible Taysom is right now?
He's not.
He looks lost, not, dude. I think the vertigo rumor was true.
He's no I'm fun anymore. Saying.
Breaking news, siren. Taysom Hill still has vertigo.
Can we trade Taysom for like a safety?
Oh my God! Shut your
Can
mouth.
Can we do that?
Ooh,
trade Taysom. How about instead of instead of Taysom playing safety, can we trade him for a safety that plays safety?
Could Tommy Stevens seriously be any worse than Taysom Hill right now?
No. Taysom Hill is just, I don't know. I think the fumbles have him shook.
Did you see that pass to Josh Hill?
Yeah.
As Traquan Smith runs down the sidelines completely unguarded. Ugh. God, man.
Is it too early to buy a Callaway jersey, Andrew?
Well, I think if you already own a Colston jersey, you just wear that. Same dude.
Bring it to Campus Connection. We'll change
I'm going to tell you what, man. I don't think this is a flash in the pan. I think this guy has a future. I really do. And I don't think this is a Keith Kirkwood or a Brandon Coleman kind of thing. And you can grab this soundbite right now. I want to say it. Callaway's going to have a nice career for the Saints. And you can make fun of me later if he turns out to be a Coleman or a Keith Kirkwood, or like, it's kind of like a flash in the pan, has a couple good games.
I don't know. Kirkwood never had a game like Callaway had. And, he's not – I mean, Willie Snead was great, but I think he's already better than Kirkwood. Although Kirkwood had that big catch in the playoff game.
Yeah, he did.
What does this mean for Traquan? Like, I feel like Traquan should have been the game that Traquan had.
It should have been Traquan's
catches
moment,
for 90 something yards.
Well,
I mean,
you know what? He might have if Taysom Hill would throw it to him when he was wide freaking open down the sideline.
I mean, does it not concern you at all that they just pass right over Traquan and they go to Marquez and Deontay?
Well, in fairness, I'm sure the Panthers were thinking we don't need to guard those guys. Just guard Traquan and we're good.
Well, so that's what I was going to ask you. I don't know if you watched the game over or watched the film, but I mean, was it a situation where Traquan was just covered, double covered all the time, and that left openings for the rest of the guys?
I do think in general Callaway had softer coverage, but no, I do think Breeze was kind of caught fire with Callaway early.
Yeah,
and it was working, and so he was like, "No, I'm gonna keep going back to the well." I do think there were times where I saw Troutman and a couple other guys wide open. I mean, Breeze won't look Troutman's way at all, hardly. I mean, he was
That's
open
weird.
A couple times, and Breeze is like, "Nope, I'm going to Callaway," and he's pretty tightly covered.
Nope.
He'd complete the pass, but it's just like, that's where you see him kind of locked in on his guy.
So this is from Dale.
Oh,
what's
you didn't
in
play
the Louisiana
music, no.
water that LSU and the Saints can't play zone defense? It's a good question. Can Tulane play zone defense?
Did you watch the game?
I did not.
700 yards.
I think it might. There might be something in the water. You can throw Tulane
and
in that
LSU,
equation.
LSU as well.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's in our water.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs. A gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crow portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
So we got to get to the game Sunday, 3:25, Saints at Bears. Bears are currently losing 24-10. Nick Foles looks like garbage on Monday Night Football. Saints are a 2.5-point favorite according to Vegas. Andrew, I'll start with you. Who you got and who is going to be your...
They won't even bring him to camp. He looks like a star of the day for the Saints.
GRTFL Mark says that we all need a smile. So, hi, Mark. I don't know. I think this is going to be low scoring. I think it's going to be a tough game. I'm going to say 23-20 Saints. It's going to take more perfection from Will Lutz. Yeah. And I'm going to go with Will Lutz.
Don't jinx him. You just fucking jinxed him. Jesus
perfect
Christ.
Perfect on the year. Will Lutz from 53 at the gun.
Wow.
23-20, Saints win.
Write this down, Ralph. If we lose by because of a missed fucking field goal, it was this asshole over here. Jesus Christ. You just don't do that. You just don't fucking do that.
So, Dave, who do you...
Should I change it then?
No,
I change?
It's too late now. You already put it out there. It's out there. It's in the ether.
So, Dave, who you got?
Who do I have? Yeah. Well, like you said, the Bears are currently losing 24-10 right now to the Los Angeles Rams. I don't think they're a great team. Defense is okay, I guess, but is Akeem Hicks healthy? Are we going to see Akeem Hicks?
Yeah, he's had a roughing the passer penalties, had offsides tonight. He's been
I'll take that. I'll take
that. He's been a Martez Wilson machine.
Oh yeah, subscribe. Nick Foles is okay, but you know, he's going to sling it around. He might make some mistakes. So,
well endowed Nicholas.
Yeah, big dick Nick, and hopefully we'll have maybe we'll get both back. Maybe we'll get Michael Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders back. Can Sanders come back that quick? Or does he have to do 14 days?
I think you got to be out 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think you have. I think if your symptoms clear and then you test negative
a bunch of times,
I think you can come back.
Consecutive days, negative tests.
I don't think it's necessarily. I don't think he's necessarily out.
Part of me.
Well, either way, that would be good if we can at least.
But
he
has not apparently been one of those COVID cases where he's symptom free. Like he's sick apparently.
Yeah.
Emmanuel Sanders. Right. So
that's why Thursday he was like, dude, at practice he was like, I'm sick. You know, so he's got the Rona, not like asymptomatic Rona or false positive Rona.
I think if the Saints offense can play like they did this yesterday, and if the defense can just tighten up just a little bit, I think we should be fine. Just a little bit. You know, like we've
been
saying.
You think a more comfortable win than we've had lately?
Like 5% more. Like we think. If we can play 5% more defense, that'd be great.
I'm torn.
Yeah.
Baby steps.
Semblance of defense.
Baby steps. Yeah, I think it'll be more comfortable than it was. I think we should be able to have a more comfortable win this week than we did last week. I'm going to say Saints 35, Bears 17.
Wow. So who's
That's a blowout. That's not 5%.
That's a blowout. So who's
Jason Champagne says
they want to bring him to camp. He looks like a star of the day for the Saints.
So Dave, who's your star
Champagne
of the day?
Jason Champagne says the Saints are going to smoke the Bears. Foles owns Brady. We own Foles. It's the circle of life.
Yeah. My star of the game. Who the hell did I go with last week? My star of the game is going to be. You know what? It'll be Taysom. Taysom's
that's a good one.
He's going to do something. He's going to do a little something, something.
I'm going to say I'm torn like this game because if Armstead, he's probably not going to play, and that could be problematic with the Bears' defense. But on the flip side, the Saints went into Chicago last year, and they just mauled that Bear defense. I don't think they had Hicks. Maybe that makes a difference. Your boyfriend, Dave, Ladavius, he had a monster game. Remember that? I think what's going to – because Tampa, they basically have a bye. It's better than a bye week. They play the Giants. So, you know, they're winning. I think Tampa's going to roll against the Giants, obviously. I think the Saints are going to roll against the Bears. And it's going to set up the Saints-Bucks on Sunday night for the monster game in the NFC South. And people are going to be excited about it. Saints are going to win – 31-10. The defense is going to look amazing because Foles is trash, and people are going to be like, the Bears are a fraud. They're 5-3 now. The Saints are 5-2. Drew Brees is looking amazing. My MVP, or as Jim Mora would
say,
they
want to bring him to camp. He looks like a star of the day for the Saints.
I'm going to go a guy that Andrew mentioned that Drew Brees, for whatever reason, isn't throwing to him, but he's open sometimes. Troutman is going to have 5 catches, 55 yards, and a touchdown. So he's going to be my star of the day for the Saints. Mm. How you like that?
So now let me ask you this. Did Dave just jinx Taysom Hill? Is he going to have like a pick and 2 fumbles now? Is that?
I don't know. He's such in the toilet. You can't jinx him until he doesn't have the vertigo anymore.
No, kickers are more susceptible. They're
okay. So it's
they're
a kicker
delicate
thing.
Flowers. Yeah, they're delicate flowers.
I can't believe, Dave, you forgot to tell me to play the music.
No, I didn't. I did tell you to play the music, asshole.
You know, you forgot to tell me to play the music.
Oh, the Ralph Shuffle. Come on.
And I got to say, shame on me. I had a chance to slam Eric Paulson to the deck today, and I whiffed.
What?
He messed up on the teleprompter. Instead of telling me, he started to read something wrong, and he's like, oh, that's not for you, that's for me. And I said, I could have said, having trouble reading again, Eric, and I blew it. I was so mad at myself.
Man, God.
I slammed Paulson.
He fucking teed that thing up for you, man.
Depressing. But
it's like fucking throwing a beach ball to Mark McGwire.
It was. I was so. I think that WWL didn't post a video because if you'd have saw it, you'd have just that'd have been right off the top before you even talked about going to the Saints game. You'd have just ripped me to shreds. But anyway, guys, thanks for joining us again. Become a patron. Oh, final question before we get out of here. And I want Andrew, Dave, you both answer. Yes or no, the Saints do something very big before the trade deadline. Andrew, you first.
Yep, I think they're going to add a defensive end, pass rusher. Look at maybe Everson Griffin, maybe Ryan Kerrigan, one of those guys. I think they will get themselves a pass rusher. That's my prediction.
Dave?
Yes, I think they're going to go after another long snapper. Yeah,
seems reasonable.
Yeah, it's the missing Saints, key, missing piece to this
puzzle. I want them to trade for J.J. Watt and just take over fucking ESPN on election day or sooner. That's what I want. That's what I deserve in this shitty year of 2020. So, guys, thanks for everybody for joining us in the chat room. We had a great crowd tonight. We appreciate you, Allie. You're going to be with us forever in the hotline.
All
guys,
right,
thanks
we love
for joining
you,
us. Until next week, the bar is closed.